الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى كتاب الجنائز كتاب الجنائز the chapter of funerals the chapter of funerals. The people of knowledge, they mention al-janaiz بفتح الجيم لا غيره with the fatha only on the jim al-janaiz and this is the plural of al-janaza the singular form you say al-janaza or al-janaza so with the singular form it comes بفتح الجيم وبكسرها Al-janaza wal-janaza. And they have the same meaning. And it's referring to the deceased. The people of knowledge, as I mentioned, this is from the verb janaza yajnizu min babi daraba. Janazahu yajnizuhu ay satarahu. If he covered him. Whenever he covered him. You can say al-janaza or al-janaza. And it's referring to al-mayyit. The deceased person. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned بِالْكَسْرِ أَفْصَحْ that it's more eloquent and better to say al-jinaza. But both of them have come in the Arabic language. Some of the scholars, they have differentiated between the two. And they have said al-janaza is for the mayyit. Al-janaza is for the mayyit, for the deceased person. And al-jinaza is for the bed that he's carried on. Whenever the body is prepared, it will be laid on a bed that will be carried. It's called sarir al-mayyit. It's also called al-na'ash. Some of the people of knowledge, they made a differentiation here. They said al-jinaza is for the mayyit that goes on top of the na'ash, on top of the bed. And al-jinaza is for the bed itself, for the bed itself, the sarir or the na'ash. But it's not considered a jinaza except whenever the body is on there. It's except whenever the body is on there. Yani the thing that they carried the deceased on, this is called jinaza. But that's only whenever the body is on there likewise. And whenever the body is not there, then whenever the deceased is not being carried on there, it's called a na'ash. Or a sarir al-mayyit. So, with regards to the fatha, this is referring to what's on top. And with regards to the kasra, this is referring to what's on the bottom. This is an easy way to remember, because the fatha is on top, and the kasra is on bottom. And the kasra is on bottom. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention contrary to that, any of the acts. But, wallahu a'lam, al-fathu lil-a'la wal-kasru lil-asfal. So you say al-janaza, referring to the deceased person. And al-janaza, referring to the deceased person whenever he's carried on the bed, and when he's carried on the na'ash. So this is a difference of opinion here that the people of knowledge have mentioned. In any case, what is being referred to here is the deceased. The janaza, as-salat ala janaza, ay as-salat ala al-mayyit. As-salat ala janaza aw al-janaza as-salat ala al-mayyit. So the prayer for the janaza, yani meaning the prayer for the deceased. And the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in this chapter, he mentioned 14 narrations. He mentioned 14 narrations, and he didn't follow the order according to the application of these affairs. Yani fi at-tartib al-fi'li, in dealing with the deceased. And he didn't mention any chapter titles likewise, rahimahullah ta'ala. But what is intended here is kitab al-jana'iz, yani ahkam al-amwat. What is intended here from kitab al-jana'iz, the chapter of funerals, yani ahkam al-amwat, the legislative rulings that are related to the dead, that are related to the deceased. The legislative rulings, yani the laws of al-Islam with regards to the deceased. Again, another clarification of the perfection and the completion of the religion of al-Islam, of the religion of al-Islam. So this is with regards to ahkam al-amwat. Ahkam al-amwat, with regards to al-ghasl wa al-takfin, which is to cleanse him and to clean him, to purify him, and then to shroud him. Wa-salat alayhi, and to establish the funeral prayer for him. Wa-hamluhu ila al-maqbara, and to carry him likewise, and to carry him to the graveyard. وَدَفْنُهُ فِي قَبَرِهِ, and to bury him, and to supplicate for him, and to beg Allah to pardon him and to forgive him. So this is from the ahkam that are related to this affair. So there are a number of rulings with regards to this issue here. The issue of funerals. But the author, he mentioned this chapter here right after the chapter of Salah. Sometimes the people of knowledge, they would include it in the chapter of Salah. We see here he mentioned Kitab al-Janaiz, meaning a separate book after the book of Salah. Sometimes it will mention Bab al-Janaiz, the chapter of Janaiz will be inside the book of Salah. So the question is now, what's the relationship here? In the ruling, ahkam al-amwat, we say that the intent, what is intended by Kitab al-Janaiz? Kitab al-Janaiz, the book of funerals, what is intended by here? Ahkam al-amwat, the legislative rulings in Islam that are related to the deceased. From cleansing him and purifying him, from shrouding him, from praying on him, and from carrying him and burying him and supplicating for him. And before that, likewise, if he's sick or in bad health, to visit him and to remind him and to admonish him and the likes like that, and to help him prepare for what he's facing. And after his death, likewise, what's related to ahkam al-amwat as well, the wasiyya, and likewise the fara'il and the laws of inheritance, and what is the wasiyya? The will and testimony. And the will and testimony and the likes like this, all of this is from the ahkam al-amwat. So with regards to al-wasiyya and al-fara'il, this is mentioned in the end of the books of the chapter of Buyur and the likes like this. This is not mentioned here. And so if we look at it from this aspect, it's very proper for the book of funerals to be between those affairs. And because he will make a wasiyya in his lifetime, and after he's dead, his property will be divided amongst his inheritors. Between that, he'll be cleansed, and he will be shrouded, and he'll be prayed upon, and he'll be carried to the graveyard, and he'll be buried. So what is the wisdom now for the author? And he's putting this now here after the chapter of Salah.
Because there is a Salah for Janazah.
Sah. But there's also the because Salat al-Janazah sometimes comes right after the obligatory Salat, many times. Not necessary though. It's facilitated like this, but not necessary. But there's a wisdom though. Because Ahkam al-Amwat, what do we say? This includes cleansing him, al-Ghasl. It includes takfeen, shrouding him. It includes the Salat, from it a Salat. And it includes likewise carrying him, al-hamal, and burying him, al-dafn, and also the du'a for him, and the shafa, supplicating to Allah and begging Allah to pardon him and forgive him, and to cover his sins, and to have mercy on him. And likewise with regards to the amwat and the rulings of the deceased is the wasiyya and the fara'id as well. All of these are from ahkam al-amwat. But here the author, he put this chapter here in front, right after the chapter of Salah. The people of God, as they mentioned, the greatest right of the deceased, and the most important affair for the deceased out of all of these rulings that are related to him after he dies is the prayer. It takes precedence, so therefore it's pushed forward. As for if we were to look at the arrangement of the ahkam al-shar'iyyah, then according to that arrangement of the actions and how they occur, then it would be proper to put it between the wasiyyah and the fara'id, the issue here. The wasiyya and the fara'id, because the person, whenever he's nearing death or he's sick and he's facing death, he'll make a wasiyya. It'll become obligatory for him to make a wasiyya if he has any debts or he's supposed to repay any trusts. It could be an obligation for him now to make the wasiyya, any at the time whenever he's facing death or it appears in that manner. And it could be recommended also. And then after he dies, the rulings that's related to him is dividing his inheritance. Amongst the inheritors. So then between that and between this, there will be the affair of the funeral and the issues related to that, the rulings with regards to the dead. But because the prayer, the janazah prayer, salat al-janazah, is from the greatest rites and the most important rites for the deceased and the most beneficial for him, it's given precedence here. So then the author, he pushed this issue forward because of the issue of the prayer of janazah. And then since he mentioned that issue, he went ahead and mentioned many of the rulings related to that affair as well. So from that aspect, to make a kitab of janazah, is more suitable, the book of janazah, because it's not only yani salat al-janazah, but rather it's about the affairs related to the deceased.
So therefore it has the right to be mentioned first in this manner.
And this is something yani that we take an admonition from. And we learn the rulings and the legislative laws and limits with regards to this, and that's what is intended here. But it's very beneficial to remember this affair, the affair of funerals and the rulings of the deceased, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has legislated a law and a straight path with regards to the human being before he's even born, and after he's born, and while he's alive, and whenever he is adolescent, and whenever he is at the age of puberty, and whenever he becomes an adult, and likewise after his death. And if there are limits and there are laws that are prescribed that were revealed above the heavens by the Creator of mankind, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to clarify these affairs. But the lesson that we want to take this evening, and we ask Allah to open our hearts to accept the admonition, al-mawtu masiru li jami' al-ahya', siwa Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That death is the destination of every living thing, and he besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Allah, He is al-hayy al-ladhi la yamud. He is al-hayy al-ladhi la yamud. Allah, He is the one who is alive eternally and never dies. As for everything else that is alive, either it was alive and it has already died, or it is alive and it will die, or it will be alive and it will die. So the reality of death is a reality that no sound human being, no sound-minded person can deny. And it's something that we all witness, and it's something that we all know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned this affair in many places in His book, and many verses and many chapters, reminding the people of the reality of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul will taste death. And this is an amazing expression likewise. And in nafs, a nafs tadhuqul maut. Every soul will taste death. Death is something we can't flee from. We can't hide from. We will taste it. Even it's mentioned on the day of resurrection that a ram will be brought in between the people of Jannah and the people of the hellfire. And it will be said to them, Do you know who this is? And they'll all say, Al-Mawt. It is death. And how did they know? How did they know what it is? What is intended by this? How did they know that? Because they tasted it before. Because they already tasted it one time before. They experienced that issue. They know that very well. And because they tasted death before, so whenever it's brought, they know that. And then that ram will be slaughtered. And then Allah, He will say to the people of paradise, خُرُودٌ بِلَا مَوْتِ خُرُودٌ بِلَا مَوْتِ. And He will say to the people of the hellfire, خُرُودٌ بِلَا مَوْتِ. It will be mentioned in this manner, خُرُودٌ بِلَا مَوْتِ. Eternity with no death. To the people of paradise, and likewise to the people of the hellfire, خُرُودٌ بِلَا مَوْتِ. An eternity, abide there in eternity with no death. The people in paradise, they will live a life of happiness and joy and pleasure. Without dying. And the people of the hellfire, waliyadu billah, they will live a life of torture and agony and misery and pain with no death. They will not live in there a life of happiness or joy, and neither will they die, so that will be finished, and so that it would end. Rather, it will continue. So Allah, He mentioned this issue here. This portion of this verse has come in three different verses in the Book of Allah. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul will taste death. And then Allah, He mentioned, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You are only going to receive your recompense in full on the Day of Resurrection. فَمَنْ زُهْزِئَنَ النَّارُ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. So every soul is going to taste death, and you will only receive your recompense in full on the Day of Resurrection. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You are only going to receive your recompense in full on the Day of Resurrection. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. And whoever is removed and distanced from the hellfire and admitted into paradise, then indeed he is the successful. And indeed he is the winner. He is the one who has been successful. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. And this worldly life is nothing but a deceiving enjoyment. Nobody will live forever. And we all know that. But some people, they become heedless, and they forget that, or they neglect that, and the likes like this. So this is something that a believer, he must recognize and remember, that he's going to taste death, and that he's going to return to Allah. And that the one who is successful is the one who is distanced and taken away from the hellfire and admitted into paradise by the mercy of Allah. But there is a path to take in this life that will be a means for him to be taken away from the hellfire and distance from that. And that is to avoid the characteristics and traits of the people of the hellfire, and their creed and in their belief and in their manners and their conduct. And that they will take on the characteristics and traits of the people of the Jannah. And they will strive against their soul to be on that path and upon those actions, upon that creed, upon that belief, upon those deeds, upon that speech. And the likes like this, avoiding the way of the wicked and the evil, and striving to be upon the way of the righteous and the pious, and striving to be upon the way of the righteous and the pious. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. The people of the hellfire, they're not equal to the people of the Jannah. The people of the hellfire, they're not equal to the people of the Jannah. Not in the hereafter, and likewise not in this life. And likewise not in this life, they're not equal. These people do these deeds, and those people do those deeds. These people go to these places, and those people go to those places. These people, they act and they speak like this and this manner, and those like that manner, until they reach their destination. So this is the case here. This is very important to remember. Allah likewise, He says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِشَرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. That every soul is going to taste death. And we try you by way of evil and by way of good. We try you by way of evil and by way of good, by way of hard times and bad times. Hard times, bad times, and difficulty and hardships, and by way of a good, likewise, is a trial. The wealth and the prosperity and the health and the safety and the security. This is all a trial. Allah, He mentioned it like this. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul is going to taste death. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. And we try you while you're alive, with good and with evil. With good times and with bad times, with poverty and hardship and sickness and difficulty, and with health and wealth and prosperity and goodness and well-being. وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And then you're going to return to us. So Allah, He reminds any of this affair. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Every soul is going to taste death, and then to us is the return. What do you benefit from that? Here Allah, He says, we ponder over the words of Allah. He's telling us every soul is going to taste death. And then to Him is the return. What is the benefit of mentioning this? ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And then to us is the return. المنتهى إلى الله وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. The end of the affair, the final destination is back to the one who created us.
You have to be prepared for it.
This is the point. So you have to be prepared for it. Because every soul is going to taste death, and then you're going to return to Allah. So if you're going to taste death and return to Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is a threat and a warning. This is a threat and a warning and an admonition, mentioning it like this. Every soul is going to taste death, and then you're going to return to us. So therefore, you should prepare for that day.
You should prepare for that day with the proper belief and the proper creed and humble yourself and submit yourself in compliance and submission to his commandments and prohibitions and prepare to meet him and hope that he'll be pleased with you whenever you meet him. And be afraid to meet him while he's angry with you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will carry a person to leave off the prohibitions and avoid them, and to perform the obligations and to strive to establish them in his life before he tastes death. Before he tastes death, and to seek forgiveness for his shortcomings. For his shortcomings. ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. So then the return is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore this life is a test and a trial. This life is a short period. The one who wins, he's the one who strives against his soul to show thanks to Allah. And to be humble and submissive to Allah. And to comply to his commandments. By performing the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions and taking a path to Allah. And taking a path to Allah, a path of obedience, a path of sincere faith, a path of submission and surrender, a path of humbleness and compliance to his commandments, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and turning away from this life and that which is impermissible from this life in hopes of the greater life, the true life, the real life. The real life is the life in the hereafter. Many people, they do not realize that the true life is the life of the hereafter until they taste death. And those are the losers. What do they say? Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. This is a person, this is what he'll say after he's dead. After his life is finished. He said, oh, woe to me. If I had only sent forth for my life. If I only presented some good and made preparation for my life. He's saying this after he died. What is the intent? What do we benefit from that? A person dies, and then after he dies, he's regretful and he has remorse. What does he say in that remorse? Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. Oh, if I only had sent forth for my life. What is his life? What is he referring to here? The life that passed? Or the life that he's facing? This is an indication that the real life is the life in the hereafter. The true life is not this life. He didn't say that I benefited from my life before. La qaddamtu li hayati. That's in front of me. For my life that's in front of me. If I had only taken the means and sent forth for my life that I'm facing now. My true life. The life that doesn't end. The life that this life ends. This life ends. It's called ad-dunya. Al-hayat ad-dunya. And then after that, there is al-yawm al-akhir. The last day. The last day. That's from the meaning of the last day. There's no more days like this of the dunya. It's finished. It's over. Now it's a life of eternity in paradise. Or eternity in the fire, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the case here, to take the admonition, and to take the reminder, and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know that you cannot run from Him, and you cannot hide, and you cannot flee from death. And a person, no matter what moves and efforts he takes, the death will come to him in the time that is decreed. In the time that is decreed, he cannot escape that. He cannot escape that. This is something to realize, that death is going to come to everyone on the day and at the time that Allah has decreed. And that cannot be put forward, nor can it be delayed. No matter what efforts we make, no matter what steps we take, no matter what precautions we make, the death will come to us only at the time that Allah decreed. Only at the time that Allah decreed. And only in the place that Allah decreed. And no one knows that time and that place. No one knows that time and that place. This is something to think about. This is something to ponder over and to reflect upon and to remember. And this is from the greatest means to be steadfast and to be upright upon obedience. And from the greatest means to repent to Allah and to achieve sincere tawbah and repentance, truthful. To remember death and to ponder over this affair. That Allah has decreed that every soul will die and taste death. And every soul will die at the time that Allah has decreed. And in that place that Allah has decreed. But nobody knows the time or the place. But nobody knows the time or the place. We understand that. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِيكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيِّدًا. Allah, He says, no matter where you are, death will catch up with you. Death will catch up with you even if you're in tall, lofty buildings. Even if you're in tall, lofty buildings, fortresses, and you fortify yourself and the likes like this, then death will come to you. The death will come to you. And whenever it's appointed, then in that place, you will go there. Whenever the time comes for the person to die, then he will go to that place. Shamaba, whether he likes it or not. He will think he's going there to take care of some need. He will think he's going there to take care of some business. He's going to go there to get some money. He's going to go there to visit somebody. He's going to go there to go to work. He's going to go there, whatever the need may be, but he's going to the place that Allah decreed that he would die. Whenever he gets there and that time comes, his soul will be taken. His soul will be taken. This is amazing affair. Allah, he says, قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the death that you flee from, that you try to hide from, you're going to meet it. It's going to meet you. It's going to come to you. It's going to come to you. ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Then you're going to be returned back. Then you're going to be returned back to the knower of the seen and the unseen, the all-knower of the seen and the unseen, and he's going to inform you of that which you do. He's going to inform you of that which you used to do. So this is, again, is a major affair. The actions are very important. The actions are very important. The one who has provided for us our life and provided for us our hearing and our seeing and our hearts and our minds and all of the good that we experience from this life. And whenever we're scared, he's the one who protects us. And whenever we're sick, he's the one who cures us. And whenever we desire something and we ask for him, he's the one who gives us and facilitates for us our affairs. We're going to go back to him and he's going to ask us what we looked at. And he's going to ask us what we said. We're going to be held accountable for what we listened to and the things that we carried in our hearts. And the things that we carried in our hearts, what we worked with our hands, where we walked to with our feet. We're going to be asked about all of these things. And Allah, he's, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows. And Allah, he is the most just and he does not oppress anyone whatsoever. And that's why from his decree and wisdom, he has created angels likewise. And from them, he has entrusted some to write the deeds. And the angels, they write as they have been ordered. And they do not add nor do they decrease. They do not add nor do they decrease. And then on the day of judgment, the book will not be read to an individual, rather he will read it himself. اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ عَلْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. Read your own book. Sufficient is yourself today as a reckoner, to take your own self to account. A person, he will not be able to hide. Even those who try to hide and deny, Allah, he will make their skin speak and their hands and feet will testify against him. Will testify against him. This is something you need to remember, and the remembrance of this affair and waking up from this affair is from the greatest radi' and zajir that will reprimand and stop a person in his tracks. Whatever he was looking at before, whenever he remembers death truthfully, he'll repent to Allah and stop looking at that. Whatever he was getting money with before, if it's impermissible, whenever he remembers the likes of these affairs, it would affect him and he will leave that. He will repent from that and he will stop. If he was negligent in his salat, if he was negligent or rude to his parents or her parents, so on and so forth, or if he violated the rights of his wife and took advantage of her, or she raised her voice to him unrightfully and disrespected him, and the likes like this, all of this affairs here, remembering death, it is from the greatest means to rectify all of that. From the greatest means to rectify all that, to repent from the sins, to return to Allah with obedience and sincere devotion. With obedience and sincere devotion. Allah, he mentioned about those affairs that no one knows except him. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٌ. And no soul knows where it will die at. No soul knows where it will die at. So these are two affairs here that Allah has clarified, that no one knows when they will die and nobody knows where they will die. But the people of knowledge, they clarify for us, may Allah bless you, that it's not important when you die. And it's not important where you die. Huh? And the people of knowledge, they say, Al-ard la tuqaddisu, al-aradi la tuqaddisu ahadan. The lands do not purify anyone. Somebody, for example, if may think that, if he dies in Mecca, he's good. Or if he dies in Medina, he's good. And the likes like this, the land that one is at whenever he dies or where he's buried, this will not be a means to help him or aid him or benefit him with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he did not put forth that which is good while he was alive. While he was alive. So this is something to know. We do not know what time we will die, and we do not know where we will die. But what is important though?
How you die.
How you die. This is what is important. This is what a believer he will strive to live upon. To work against his soul, to die upon Islam. And this is the wasiyah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam wa Yaqub, whenever they advise their children, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die except as Muslims, except in a state of submission to Allah Azza wa Jal, except in a state of obedience and striving against your desires and your whims to fulfill the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, and abide by His commandments and fulfill His obligations, and leave off and stay away from and avoid His prohibitions, and to seek forgiveness for your shortcomings. This is the case here. It's been collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi from the hadith of Abi Izza, Yasar ibn Abd, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ لِعَبْدٍ أَنْ يَمُوتَ بِأَرْضٍ جَعَلَ لَهُ إِلَيْهَا حَاجَةٍ. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for one of His slaves, for a person to die in a specific land, whenever that time comes, then Allah will cause him in his heart to have a need to go there. Allah will cause him in his heart to have a need to go there. So this is that amazing affair. So a person, he doesn't know when it will be or where it will be, but Allah, He knows when it will be and He knows where it will be. And whenever that time comes and a person, he's not in that place, then there will be the need and desire and the want that will arise in the person's heart to go to that place. And he will go there with that need. If somebody said, if you go there, you're going to die, would he ever go there? He doesn't know that though. But that's what's happening. That's what's happening. This is what will happen to the people. They will go to that place. Whether they like it or not. And they'll have the need to go there. And then at that place and at that time, Allah will take their soul. But what is important is how the soul is taken. And the soul of the righteous is taken with honor and dignity. And the angels, they come in the most respectful manner to them and give them glad tidings and give them the greetings of peace. Salamun alaykum tibbatum. You did such a good job. You are a good soul. You are righteous. And it's mentioned that the soul of the righteous, it comes out of the body the way the drop of water comes from the water skin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the long narration about death and about the questions in the grave in Al-Musnad by Imam Ahmed, that this is how it comes out. The water skin, sometimes it will sweat. It will sweat until it has enough water on the bottom that the gravity will finally pull it, a drop. The water will gather and until it gets on the bottom, and then it will drop, a drip. The water will drip. That drop, in this manner, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it, how the soul of the righteous is taken. Very gentle in that manner like that. But as for the soul of the wicked, they're taken with force and with violence. And the soul of the wicked, it does not want to leave. And it's fleeing inside the person's body, afraid. Afraid. And it's mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the soul of the wicked and the evil is taken like the way you take the wool of the sheep when his hair is wet. And when you try to shave the wool of the sheep with the hair wet and the likes like this, it comes off. You have to force it off. You have to strip it off. You have to rip it off. That's why Allah, He swore by those angels when those people denied the hereafter. When naziati gharqa, Allah, He swore by those angels that strip the soul of the wicked. Gharqa meaning they're drowning in fear, drowning in their body, fleeing from those angels, and they cannot flee. And likewise, the angels, they take their soul and they smite their backs and their faces. They say to them, وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ, and taste the punishment of the fire. They أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. They say like this, give us your souls. Take out your souls. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, with violence and in a harsh manner. So this is the fate that we're facing. This is the fate that we're facing. إِذَا قَلَى اللَّهُ لِعَبْدٍ أَنْ يَمُوتَ بِعَرْضٍ جَعَلَ لَهُ إِلَيْهَا حَاجَةً أَوْ قَالَ بِهَا حَاجَةً. That if Allah decreed for a person to die in a particular land at that time, whenever his death nears, the time of his death nears, his ajil, his appointment comes, then Allah will cause him to have a need in his heart to go to that place. To go to that place. So to remember death is from the most important affairs. And from the fundamental principles of being steadfast and upright and obedient to Allah. And likewise from the greatest means to sincerely repent to Allah and to ask for His forgiveness. And from the greatest means to establish the obligations and to fulfill them in the best manner and to avoid the prohibitions and to repent and seek forgiveness for the shortcomings. Remembering death. Remembering this amazing reality. This amazing reality. Allah, He mentioned, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah, He created the death and the life. to test you. To test you who is best indeed. To test you who is best indeed. So this affair is something that is serious, something that is major. A believer, he will prepare for that day. He will hope that that day will come to him in the best manner and a good way. And even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at one time it's mentioned that they were in the burying one of the companions radiallahu anhum, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's crying. And he said, Ya ikhwani, li mithli hadha fa'iddu. Oh my brothers, for the likes of this, get ready. Make preparations. Prepare. So you have to prepare for the likes of these affairs. You have to prepare for the likes of these affairs. A great example in our lifetime, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. One of the rulers offered to build him a house in a nice neighborhood. Noticed that his home was not very luxurious in the likes like this. And he offered to build him a home in some of the outskirts or in some of the dawahi. What is the dawahi? The suburbs, and some of the suburbs, and in a nice area, a nice home. And the Shaykh, he said, no, it's okay. We have a home right now we're building in Salihiyah. In another town. After the leader left, or this particular Amir, the students, they said to the Shaykh, we didn't know you have another home, or you're building a home, Shaykh, what is that? He said, isn't the graveyard over there? And he said, the Shaykh, may Allah accept from him, this is from wisdom, this is from aql, this is from intelligence, and from knowledge and determination to build that home, to prepare that home, and to make efforts for that day. What did you put for that day? We want to see something good when we get. We want to see charity. We want to see salat. You want to see righteousness. You want to see good deeds. The good deeds, they will come in the form of a man on that day and give him glad tidings. And the bad deeds, they'll come on the form of a man on that day in the grave. Waliyadu billah. And they will not give him glad tidings. They will not give him glad tidings, and he will be tortured in his grave. What do you have to believe? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in a narration narrated by At-Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, and likewise Al-Imam Ahmad, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, akthiru dhikra hadhim al-ladhat, akthiru dhikra hadhim al-ladhat, that you should remember often. You should remember often, hadhim al-ladhat, hadhim bidhal, hadhim al-ladhat. The people of knowledge, as they mentioned, hadhim yani qati' al-ladhat. To remember often and to remember always the thing that cuts off the delights and cuts off yani the pleasures. Al-ladhat yani the pleasures and the delights. It has also come hadhim bidhal. بالدال بالذال يعني المعجمة وبالدال المهملة. It has come both ways. أكثر ذكرى هاذم اللذات وهادم اللذات. هاذم it means قاطع, and هادم يعني من الهدم, يعني the destroyer of the pleasures, the destroyer of the pleasures. So in any case, يعني this is what is being referred to, death. Death. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he described death that it is the one that cuts off the pleasures. It cuts off the pleasures, meaning the one who was involved in the pleasures, especially the impermissible pleasures and lusts, whenever he remembers death, it will cut that off for him. By remembering death often, in this manner like this, the one who was involved in impermissible lust, and even maybe in some permissible lust likewise, that moment whenever he remembers that affair, and he thinks deeply and reflects over the issue of death, it will cut those delights will go away, and those pleasures will be cut off. And likewise, at the time of death, all pleasures in this life, they are cut off. They are cut off. But also it has come yani with a dal, hadim al-ladhat, the destroyer of the pleasures. The destroyer of the pleasures. And this is because the pleasures here is from those affairs that they go away and they do not last. Al-ladhat al-faniya, nam wa-shahawat al-ajila, those desires and lusts that a person he strives for and he brings them on hastily and he can't leave off. And these are lusts and pleasures that go away. And the one who chases them and the one who pursues them likewise, then he will not be able to keep them and have them forever, whether they will leave him. And likewise, it's been made the example here that the reality of that to remember is that those pleasures and those lusts and this life, it will be destroyed. It will go away. For example, imagine a tall building, a great building, and then, for example, a great wind came to it, or an earthquake came to it, and it was crumbled in an instant. This is the reality of death. The example here, those desires and those lusts and the likes like that, all of that is wiped out and finished at the time of death. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the benefit from this narration, أَكْثِرُوا هَذِمْ أَلَّذَاتُ or هَادِمْ أَلَّذَاتُ, to remember often, to remember often the destroyer of pleasures and delights, or the thing that cuts off the pleasures and delights. I need to remind the people, especially those who are engulfed in sins, especially those who are engulfed in the pleasures and delights, especially those pleasures and delights that are impermissible, or the pleasures and delights that have caused a person to forget that he will die. Likewise, some people, maybe they're not necessarily involved in things all the time that are haram, but they have been so engulfed in their worldly life that it has caused them to forget that day and to neglect the preparation of that day. And even a person, maybe he's involved in some things that are permissible, but because of his love for the dunya and the love for those affairs, he chases that and chases that as if he has forgotten, as if he has forgotten he will die, and he's not preparing for that day in a manner that he should. So by remembering death and remembering that day and that it will come to a person, then this will cause the one who is engulfed in sins, or the one who was heedless before, to wake up and to realize and to remember, and then to take a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making repentance sincerely and truthfully, and then striving to take provision for the hereafter, to take the true provision. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى, and to take your provision in this life, and if for hajj, and likewise in this life as well, but the best of all provision is piety, and in the provision for the hereafter, and in the righteous and the good deeds, the righteous and the good deeds. The deceased person, whenever he dies, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثٌ, three things they are going to follow the deceased. فَيَرْجِعُ اثْنَانِ وَيَبْقَى وَاحِدٌ, two of them they will return, meaning they'll leave him there, and one of them will remain with him. One of them will remain him with him. يرجع أهله وماله ويبقى عمله, his family and his wealth will leave him, but his deeds, they will stay with him. If they're good, then they're good, and if they're bad, then they're bad. So therefore, to prepare for that day. And again, a reminder for us and the youth specifically, that even in preparation for the hereafter, this does not mean that you can't enjoy this life, and that Allah, He wants us to be miserable in this life, or to be sad in this life, and the likes like that. Rather, we can have great pleasure and joy in this life, but not to the extent that we forget our death, and we forget our Lord, and forget the meaning of Allah, and forget the wisdom and the reason and the purpose of our life. Or until we forget the commandments and obligations. And the one who forgets the commandments and obligations, then Allah will cause him to forget himself. To forget himself, meaning the means that will be the savior for his own soul. The means that will be the savior for his own soul. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسَى اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الْفَاسِقُونَ الْفَاسِقُونَ وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this affair is major. So I wanted to just remind myself and my noble brothers and sisters of this affair, and as an introduction to the book Al-Janaiz. The author, he mentioned a number of narrations clarifying the regulations with regards to this issue, and we take them in the class to come. Insha'Allah, we begin reading the narrations in the class to come. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And Allah knows best. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.